I think we could all basically agree that we live in what I would say is the most mean, most vindictive, kind of the loudest society and culture in the world. People just get so angry at things and at people and my group against this group. And we kind of have this cancel culture where if you don't think exactly the way that I think, or if you've done me wrong, you're canceled. And you say one wrong thing, doesn't matter how long we've walked together. If you say one wrong thing, then you are out, and then I'm pitted against you, and you're pitted against me, and it's this group against that group. Man, and it's just intense. Somebody said this week that the world has never been louder, and it's never said so little. And I just affirm that. I just agree with that. Like, everybody's got something to say, but I'm not sure anybody even knows what we're saying. I was reading in Acts this week about this chaotic scene in the scripture, and everybody was gathered at this Colosseum, and they were shouting and screaming and hollering. And this wonderful part of the scripture says, and some of them didn't even know why they were there. And I think that we kind of live in that culture. They were yelling, and I don't even know what we're yelling about, but I'm mad if you're mad. And I think we live in that society. And we can get so caught up in sometimes there are things that are wrong, but I can get so much bitterness inside of me, and I can get so spun up inside of me that I lose sight of what Jesus has called us to. Because into this society and into the society that he lived in, Jesus gives us this beatitude, and it's Matthew chapter 5, verse number 7, and he says, "Blessed are the merciful." Now that's hard for us because I want to match your energy. If you're coming in hot to me, I want to come back hot to you. But Jesus says, that's not what Christians do. Blessed are the merciful. Merciful means, and we've given some of the junior high kids these kind of fill in the blank notes. Merciful, here's what mercy is different than grace. Grace is that I'm given something that I don't deserve, but mercy is that I'm not given what I do deserve. And so by the grace of God, we're saved. So we were given forgiveness that we didn't deserve. And by God's mercy, we are brought into his family, that we weren't given punishment. We weren't given torment, even though we deserved it. And so Jesus invites his followers, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the people that don't give other people what they deserve, for they will be shown mercy. And so it's recognizing there are times and seasons in all of our lives where people are going to do you wrong. People are going to lie about you. People are going to stab you in the back. People are not going to keep their word. People will say that they will and then they won't. And then we come to this crossroads. What if instead of matching them, what if instead of harboring that in your heart, what if instead of getting into anger and vindictiveness, what if you took Jesus seriously and said, blessed are those that show mercy? How can I give you what you don't deserve, grace, and how can I not give you what you do deserve? Now, that's hard for us. It's hard for us if it's just standalone. But again, this isn't the first thing Jesus says, that the only way that we can be a merciful people is if we've taken seriously what Jesus has said up to this point. So let's just read it together. We'll start back in verse number 3. This is where we started all the way 4 weeks ago. He says this, blessed are the poor in spirit. So in order for us to get to where we want to be mercy, first you've got to recognize that I come to God fully empty-handed, that God doesn't owe me anything. That there's nothing about me, there's nothing about my life that God looks at and says, they earned it, they deserved it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And then blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who recognize that I'm not innocent. Blessed are those who recognize that I have sin. Blessed are those who recognize that I have some times and seasons of my life where I've done other people wrong, where I haven't kept my word, where I've stepped on other people's toes. Blessed are those who recognize and grieve that sin. They'll be comforted. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are those that recognize that, man, the world is not about me. That I'm not the center of the universe. Everything doesn't revolve around me. I put myself in the rightful place and I put God in his rightful place. They will inherit the earth. And then we said last week, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, who wake up every day and say, what does God call me to do today? In this relationship, in this encounter, in this little season of my life, what does God call me to do? How can I pursue his righteousness? And he promises that if you'll do that, you will be filled. And it's through walking through verses 3, 4, 5, and 6 that we realize when I'm pursuing righteousness and when I'm filled Well, mercy becomes the natural next step. I'm filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And so what Jesus is trying to get us to is that as we follow him, there's going to be an overflow. There's going to be something that comes out of us. And Jesus, one of the things, and he's going to talk about another one in 2 weeks, one of the things that should flow out of us is mercy. When we go through our life and we go into work and I go into my marriage and when I'm parenting, whatever that looks like, one thing that should flow out of me when the rest of the world is I'm going to get even and I need to make sure that my side of the story is heard and I need to match their energy. Christians, what if you spilled out mercy? What if you woke up every day and said, I'm not going to give people maybe even what they deserve. Maybe they do deserve to be written off. Maybe after what they did to me, maybe they do deserve to be held at an arm's length for a while. But what if I was following Jesus, that I am merciful? Because here's what's true. And I asked my friend Colin. Colin, will you come help me? I asked my friend Colin to come help me kind of illustrate this just a little bit. And Colin's going to do a great job. Colin, hop up on here. Wow. See, when you're young, you can hop up from the bottom floor. The rest of us have to take stairs. And so here's what Jesus said last week. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. So here's what's true about all of our life, that you are full of something. You are filled. Now, some of us are filled with anger. Some of us are filled with bitterness. Some of us are filled with selfishness. But we're all filled with something. And when you go through life, you are going to bump into people and people are going to bump into you. Colin, just bump into me just real fast. Yeah. And so here's what's true about all of us. Do one more time, Colin. Just give me a good, yeah. Here's what's true. Whatever's inside of you is dumping out. Like, because we live in a world where we have to encounter other people. I work at the hospital in Colby during the week. There's 470 other people that work there. You know what that means for me? There's 470 opportunities every day for someone. Give me one more bump, Colin. There's 470 opportunities for someone to bump into me. And something's coming out of me. And the same is true for you. That something will come out of you because, again, you live in a world where people are going to bump. Colin, thank you so much for your help. Let me give you one present, Colin, because you're so amazing and so great. Here's some nerd clusters for you. Let's give Colin a round of applause. Thank you so much, Colin. And so, it's a wood floor. It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. Jesus says, when you go through life, you're going to get bumped. And your natural inclination, my inclination, well, when I get bumped, anger, bitterness, vindictiveness, get even, match their energy. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And so here's the big idea of today. If you're taking notes, if you're with us this morning, if you're taking notes, here's kind of the big idea, that if you have truly experienced the gospel, mercy will be the mark of your life. That when the gospel takes root in your heart, the gospel is that Jesus came, lived sinlessly, died, and rose again. That's the gospel, the good news. And when that takes root in your heart, what comes out of you then, it doesn't necessarily always come natural. You still have to choose it. We're going to see that in a second. But the overflow of that is that I begin to show mercy. That after I'm filled because I've hungered and thirst after righteousness, when I go through life and people bump into me and they don't do what they said they were going to do and they don't hold up their end of the bargain and they stab me in the back or whatever that looks like in your sphere, blessed are the merciful. And what we can ask ourselves is, when I look back at my life, have I been showing mercy? So the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, when you're thinking about your life, here's what you should do, to just test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Now, this is an important little thing, because when we sometimes think that, well, my faith is dependent on, you know, did I go through the religious exercises? Did I give? Did I attend church? Did I pray? Did I do this? And Paul says, you need to test yourself Examine yourself, some translations say, to see, are you actually in the faith? Examine yourselves. Or do you yourselves not recognize that Jesus Christ is in you unless, he says, it's possible that you fail the test. And one way to examine yourself, one way to test yourself is to look behind you and ask, have I been showing mercy? When people have bumped into me, what is it that flows out of me? Am I matching the world's energy? Or am I choosing to show that person who doesn't deserve it, they were wrong, they shouldn't have done it, it was egregious that they did it, I'm choosing to show them mercy because I have received the mercy of God myself. Jesus illustrates this beautifully. If you have your Bible and if you want to follow along, we're going to spend most of the morning in Matthew 18 because Jesus tells this perfect story about this exact idea. Matthew chapter 18, if you didn't bring a Bible, no problem. It's going to be right up there on the screen. But Jesus is telling a made-up story. This is a parable. Jesus is telling a story that it didn't happen, but he's trying to illustrate something. And it starts by Peter asking a question. Peter came up to Jesus, approached him. This is verse number 21. And he asked, Lord, how many times must I forgive or must I show mercy to my brother and sister who sins against me? As many as seven times? Now, Peter is trying to be really spiritual. Because what the religious leaders of the day would say is that the limit is four. You've got to give people four chances. And after four chances, you can write them off. And so Peter evidently has been bumped. Evidently, Peter has somebody that keeps bumping into him. And he comes up to Jesus and says, hey, look how spiritual I am. How many times do I need to show this person that keeps bumping into me mercy? Seven times, I'm going beyond. I know you, Jesus, you're elevating things. And so I'm not going to do just four. What about seven? That I'm talking about, I'm really spiritual. I tell you, Jesus says, verse number 22, not as many as seven, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. And that is not the, like, I've got to keep track. And he's saying there is no limit. That your job is to keep showing mercy every single day. God would say that his mercies are new every morning. And so that's our invitation. I follow God into that, that every day I wipe the slate clean. My mercies are new every morning. Not seven times, but 70 times seven. For this reason, then he tells a story. The kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle accounts, one owed him 10,000 talents. Now, commentaries are a little bit divided on this, but roughly what this servant owed was approximately $6 billion with a B, $6 billion. Just Jesus is taking it all the way to the extreme. Just an amount that is totally outrageous. So he owed him $6 billion, was brought before him. Verse number 25, since he didn't have the money to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, his children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. At this, the servant fell face down before him and said, be patient with me and I will pay you everything. Well, that's impossible. Can't be done. You can't pay back $6 billion. If you are at a capacity where you can pay somebody back $6 billion, we're receiving an offering later today, and I'd love for you to participate because, yeah, we've got some things we're trying to do. But, I mean, it's just an impossible. So this idea that this servant was going to somehow, no, don't worry about it. Just give me a little bit of time, and I'll pay it back. Impossible. It's not going to happen. And then here's what that master did. Verse number 27. The master of that servant, I want you to hold this word. We're coming back to this word. The master of that servant had compassion. He released him and he forgave that loan. What did that servant experience? He experienced mercy. There was a real debt that was owed. That $6 billion was real. And the master said, there's no way for you to pay that back. There's no way for you to get to where you need to be. And so I'm not going to give you what you deserve. You deserve to be imprisoned. I deserve, in fact, for you to pay me back. But I'm going to extend to you mercy. Now, here's what we're going to discover, though. That servant thought that that was owed to him. That servant's attitude to having his sins of $6 billion forgiven, that servant thought, I kind of deserve that. I'm kind of owed that. Now, he would have never said that. Like if we were to ask him, hey, aren't you so grateful that he forgave that huge amount of money? He would have said, of course, I'm so grateful. I mean, look at what he's done for me. It's so amazing. But here's what you know is true. This isn't even a Bible thing. This is just a thing, that actions, what do? They speak louder than words. And so his words would have said, oh, I'm so grateful that he forgave that insurmountable debt. I would have never been able to get there on my own. But then what does he do? Because his actions tell us he thought he deserved that. He thought that that was owed to him. The next verse says this, that same guy went out and found one of his fellow servants. So he went on the hunt for somebody. It wasn't just that somebody, he just happened to see him across the road, that he left and he said, I've got to go hunt down this other guy. He went and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And again, commentators are a little bit kind of split on exactly how much that is, but roughly it's 4 months worth of wages, okay? And so if you make $50,000 a year, that's roughly, you know, plus or minus $15,000. Now again, $15,000 is real money. Like if somebody owed me $15,000, I'd be in the market to get $15,000 back. Like, you know, if you owe me 15, not a big deal. If you owe me 150, well, I wouldn't mind having that back. 1,500, yeah, I'm kind of, you know, I'm texting you every now and again. $15,000 you owe me, I mean, that's real. And so again, Jesus is recognizing there are some things that happened to you that aren't right. There are some things that happened to you that shouldn't have happened. You are owed some things. You might be owed $15,000 worth of things, but here's what the servant did. He grabbed him, he started choking him, and he says, pay what you owe. Same exact language that was used to the king. At this, his fellow servant fell down, used the same exact language, and began begging him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back, which is possible. Right? You could, like, you might have to work really hard at it, and it might take you a few years. You might have to have some garage sales, but you have the capacity to pay back $15,000. That is within your ability. And so there's a guy that was owed $6 billion. I'll pay it back. It's not possible. I'm going to show you mercy. You owe me $15,000. Well, show me mercy. I think I can pay it back. Here's what he did. He wasn't willing. Verse 30. Instead, he went and threw him into prison until he could until he could pay back what he was owed. Here's what's true about our life, that the fruit of our life show what we really believe. So the fruit of this person's life said, that $6 billion wasn't that big of a deal. I was kind of owed that. I kind of deserved that. Now his actions, again, they speak louder than words. And in our life, we just have to recognize that if we think that we can earn God's forgiveness, then we will make people earn ours. That when people bump into us, which is gonna happen, and when people do things that they shouldn't have done, and they do it twice and three times and four times, and when they do whatever it is that they do, when they owe you, that if there's something inside of you that thinks, you know, the mercy that God has given me, I kind of deserve it, because after all, I'm a pretty good person, and I do attend church, and I've sing the songs, and I have my daily Bible reading, and I pray. But, you know, God really kind of owed me that my debt was forgiven. When I have that attitude, when people do something to me, I'll try to make them earn it as well. Instead of giving mercy, I will say, no, you've got to pay me back. And we can, this is, again, we just have to tell ourselves the truth. We can be like the servant, that we can gather in a place and we can sing and we can say how grateful we are for what God has done for us. And then we can leave and we can see that person, or we can see that person's picture on Facebook, and all of those things come up inside of us again. And the last thing we're interested in is mercy. We want to get even. We want them to pay us back. And until they pay us back, I mean, we are just so torn up inside. And so what God invites us to is to first recognize, what have you been given? And it is in measure of what I've been given, not in what other people owe me. It's in measure to what I've been given that I go and extend that to other people's. And the pushback is, and I get it, the pushback is, well, they did, and you can just fill in your blank. Well, yeah, but, and here's, let me just tell you the truth, that if you came up here and if you told me your story of who hurt you and abused you and abandoned you and did you wrong, I would be angry with you. Like, I would agree with you. I'd be on your side. I would say, man, that is outrageous that they would do that. And blessed are those of the merciful, because they will be shown mercy. So how does the story end? Verse number 31 says this. When the other servants saw what had taken place, they were deeply distressed and went and reported to their master everything that had happened. Then after he summoned them, his master said, "You wicked servant, I forgave all that debt that because of you begged me. Shouldn't you also have had," here's our word, "mercy on your fellow servant as I," there's our two words, "as I," not as they, "as I had mercy on you." And because he was angry, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed. And so also, this is, I mean, you want to talk about Jesus in our face. Here's what he says. "So also my heavenly Father will do to you unless every one of you," everyone who's abused, everyone who's betrayed, everyone who was thrown to the side, everyone who was stabbed in the back, everyone forgives his brother or sister from your heart. You see, the master's response is not taking back the salvation. The master's response is recognizing you never understood what I did for you in the first place. And we have to be so careful that we don't move into self-righteousness. God owes me. I deserve it. This is what I am owed, because self-righteous people cannot be merciful. When I think of myself as righteous in my own standing, when I am coming to God, not blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, but blessed are those who are filled because of their own righteousness. If I think that, I can't extend to you mercy, because I think that, well, I earned it, you need to earn it. Well, I did it on my own, you need to do it on your own. And those who don't see, we started in verse number 3, blessed are those who are just spiritually bankrupt. Here's what will happen to them. And you've met some people like this, let's be honest. They will become harsh and judgmental. Why? Because they don't really realize that they owed something. And so whenever, and again, let's tell the truth. People do things that are wrong. People do things that are bad. And people do things that have hurt and wounded you. And those wounds might have had caused chaos in your family. They might have caused chaos in your future. It might have been when you were a kid, whatever it is. But when we are self-righteous about what God has given me, here's what we will inevitably do, that instead of extending mercy, we're gonna start to show scorecards. Here's my score and here's your score, and you need to even the score. And I'm gonna hold this against you until you do even the score, because you owe me. And so just really quickly, let me give you 3 kind of takeaways, 3 things, 3 principles from this parable, and then 3 just very kind of things for you to think about. Here's the first one, that God's anger is on the merciless and his compassion is on the debtor. Did you see these words? That the servant, the master of that servant, verse number 27, it's not on the screen. But please, please, please help me. I'll pay you back. What was that response? The master of that servant had compassion. The person that owed that extraordinarily huge amount, impossible amount, what was the master's response? It was compassion. But what about when he recognized that that person was merciless? That compassion changed to he was angry. Now we change it, because when we're self-righteous, we're angry at other people's sin, other people, the things that they didn't do right. And we can get so self-righteous in me, well, I would never. Well, they shouldn't have. I can't believe they did. And we can flip the script and we have compassion on ourselves. Well, I didn't really mean to do that. And well, my heart was in the right place and I didn't mean to say it that way. We have compassion on ourselves who aren't very merciless, and we have anger on other people's sin. But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus had compassion on those who owe and anger on those who are merciless. Here's the second one, that mercy is to be given in relation to how much God has given you, not on how much they owe. Now they owe something. I'm with you. $15,000 is real money. Like if you owe, again, you owe me $15,000, please give me $15,000. I need that $15,000. But my gift of mercy to you is not based on anything to do with you. It's based on what has God given me. And the challenge that we face is that we sometimes miscalculate how much we owe. That we assume we owe $15,000 when really we owe $6 billion. That we think, well, I'm pretty good. I mean, I know that I'm not perfect. I mean, I'm no Mother Teresa, but I mean, I'm pretty good. And yeah, I probably do owe. I believe that all fall short of the glory of God. I believe that all sin, but my sin is like $15,000 worth of sin, where those other people, they've got $6 billion worth of sin. And so I'm going to extend, yeah, I'll extend $15,000 worth of mercy. I'm in. But $6 billion of mercy, I can't do that. Well, mercy is given in relation to what God has given us, and we've got to make the calculation correctly. We are the owers of $6 billion, not 15,000. And when I assume that I owe less than I do, I'll be very stingy with my mercy. Here's the third one, and it just kicks us right in the teeth. Those that withhold mercy have no part in the kingdom of God. Yeah, but no. That can't possibly be right. I mean, I was baptized. I mean, I come to church. I've got a bunch of Bible verses memorized. I went through confirmation. I did all of this religious activity. Let me just tell you what Jesus says. So also, my heavenly Father will do to you, talking to me, talking to us, unless every one of you forgives, shows mercy to his brother or sister from your heart. Mercy is the door, is the key to the kingdom of heaven. We don't give mercy to earn our way, but I'm a receiver of mercy. And because I'm a receiver, I'm a giver of mercy. And that's what the kingdom of heaven is made of. That God is God because of the mercy that he has given. And then he calls me, even when people bump into me time and time and time again, he says, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be, do we have that slide, Keith? Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Why do these people receive mercy? They don't receive mercy because they've earned it, but by showing mercy in my life, it demonstrates that I've actually received it. That when I've genuinely had my heart broken by my own sin, by my own emptiness, when I walk through life humbly, and when I see that I was the person that owed $6 billion and God was merciful to me, I show mercy to other people, and it's a demonstration that I understand the gospel. You see, throughout the New Testament, here's what you need to know. Throughout the New Testament, I'll show you one verse, but there's dozens of them. Throughout the New Testament, here's kind of this reoccurring theme that goes over and over and over again, that behavior reveals spiritual reality. That the behavior of my life, it reveals what's going on inside of my heart. I don't behave in order that God will do something, but because God has done something, my behavior will change. And I can talk the talk all I want, but God has invited me. You've got to walk the walk. You've got to reveal through your behavior, through your words, through your thoughts, through your actions, through when people bump into you, that God is at work in your heart. 1 John, let me just prove it to you. Anyone says, I love God and hates his brother or sister, and maybe the brother or sister bumped into you. And maybe the brother or sister did you so wrong. And I'd be angry with you. I'm on your side. But if anybody says, I love God and yet hates that person, liar. Behavior indicates a spiritual reality. For the person who does not love his brother or sister whom he has seen, it's not possible to love God who he hasn't seen. These are strong words. Now, here's what we're not saying. We're not saying that you have to reconcile a relationship. We're not saying you have to invite that person back into your life. In some cases, it wouldn't be safe for you to invite that person into your life. In some cases, that person is dead and gone. They couldn't get back into your life, and yet your heart is still full of anger at them for what they stole from you when you were a child. So we're not saying that everything was okay. We're not saying you have to be friends. We're not saying that you have to reconcile that relationship. What Jesus is saying is that you have to show them mercy, that you have to say, I'm going to let them off of the hook, not because what they did was right, not because what they did wasn't painful, but because God has forgiven my $6 billion debt. And so I'm going to be a conduit of his mercy, and I'm going to not give you what you do deserve. They deserve something. But here's what the scripture says, that's God's job. I don't have it on the screen, that wrath is up to God. Judgment is up to God. So they're not getting off scot-free. God saw it too. God recognized and God saw what happened, and God is not impressed. And so you leave that to God. Punishment and judgment and righteousness, that's God's. Mercy is yours. And what that looks like, you've got to be wise in that. But it says, I'm not going to give you what you do deserve because God hasn't given me what I deserve. He forgave me. Three quick takeaways, then we're going to be done really quickly. Number one, pray that you would feel the weight of what you owed. Again, we miscalculate easily the amount of mercy we've been shown. We don't think we're perfect. We just think we're 15,000. But Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says this, there's no one righteous, not one. There's no one who understands. There is no one, I'm included, who sees God. All have turned away. All alike have become worthless. There is no one who does what is good. No, not one. So we've got to calculate correctly the state of my life. Tim Keller, the late great pastor and commentator and theologian, he said this. I love it. The gospel is this, that we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dare believe, and yet at the same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. And so, again, we're more sinful, but we're more loved. We're more sinful, but God gives us more grace. So calculate correctly. Pray, just pray, that God would put the weight on you. Oh, I owed $6 billion worth of debt, and just feel that. And then from that place, choose to show mercy. Look at this word. I chose this word on purpose. It's a choice. It's a choice. It might not come naturally. It certainly won't come easier, but it can be spirit-led. It's a choice to show mercy to those who have sinned against you. You're going to get bumped into. This week, you'll get bumped into. Here's what Paul said in Colossians. As God's chosen ones, you've been showed mercy, you're holy, you're loved, put on compassion. Listen, you've never had to put on skin. Skin is natural, but you have to put on clothes. You've got to make a choice every day, I'm putting on clothes. That's what Jesus said, that you're loved, that's part of you, but now when you wake up every day, you've got to purposely, with intention, make a choice, compassion. You bumped into me, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I'm gonna bear with one another, forgiving one another. It's a choice, choose to forgive if anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord forgives you, so you are to forgive. Again, not natural, not easy, but that doesn't mean it's not our responsibility. It's a choice that I say, I'm going to do this. There's a great story of a couple at the 50th wedding anniversary. People were asking them, how did you do it? How did you stay married and happy all these years? And the lady said, at the very beginning of our wedding and our marriage, I said, I was gonna make a list of the top 10 things that he does that annoys me, and I'm gonna choose ahead of time to forgive them. And so they said, well, what's the list? And she said, you know, I never got around to making it. Every time he did something, I just said, well, he's lucky that that's one of the 10. And what a great choice that we say ahead of time, yep, this week, hey, I'm getting bumped into, but I'm choosing ahead of time. I've been showed mercy, and I'm gonna show mercy. Here's what's true for all of us. Obedience leads, feelings follow. If you wait for a feeling of mercy to come, you'll wait forever. That's why some of you haven't get forgiven. That's why some of your hearts are such in such strife and in such frustration, is because you don't feel like it. I don't have to wait for a feeling to obey. Obedience leads, feelings follow. This is what God's called me to do. His grace is sufficient for me as I walk through it. Matthew, Jesus said it this way, go and learn what this means. I desire, this is the command. Here's what I'm supposed to obey. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. You know what I would prefer? I'd prefer sacrifice. When I think about some of the people that have bumped into me, I'd prefer sacrifice because I can do sacrifice. Oh, you want me to be at church every time the doors are open? Man, I can sacrifice that. I don't want to show them mercy. It's easy to sacrifice. It's hard to show mercy. But you know, our world needs people that aren't just content with going through the spiritual motions, that people that aren't just content with sacrifice, they need people that are merciful, because here's what happens. Mercy, I love this, mercy becomes the aroma of Christ in a harsh world. It draws people to the gospel and it stores up treasures in heaven. That's what mercy does. When people outside look at us who choose mercy to other people who don't deserve it, they think, man, I'm interested in that. Oh, I kind of want to be a part of that. So pray that God would reveal the weight of your sin, of how much you owed. Make the choice this week, because there's someone in your brain right now. Here's what I know is true for somebody. Somebody's in your mind right now. Choose to show mercy. They don't deserve it, but you can obey and you can trust that the Spirit's grace is enough. And you might, it's probably not a one-time thing, but you can choose today and you can choose tomorrow and you can choose the next day and say, Jesus, the last thing in the world I want to do is show mercy to this person because they abused me, they hurt me, they abandoned me, they kicked me out of that, whatever it was. But you showed me mercy. And so with the grace you give me, help me to show mercy to them. And then here's the third one we're going to. For yourself. For some of us, isn't it true that for some of us, the hardest person to forgive is not the person across the street, not the person, you know, kind of that bumps into us. The hardest person for us to forgive is ourselves. The hardest person for us to show mercy to is ourselves. And, you know, we'll let other people off the hook and we'll show other people mercy. But me, I can't show me mercy because I know what I did and I know the skeletons and I know all the things. Can I just ask you a question just to kind of wrestle with? Why would you have a standard, higher standard for mercy than God? Like if God's willing to show you mercy, why wouldn't you show yourself mercy? Like, you're better than God? You have a higher view of righteousness than God? Of course you don't. And if God, who is rich in mercy, is willing to show you mercy, why wouldn't you? See, here's what Paul said. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an arrogant man, I received mercy because I acted out of ignorance and unbelief. Some of that's your story. You acted out of ignorance. You hurt some people and you did some things and it's hard for you to forgive yourself. You can't have a higher standard for mercy than Jesus. The grace of our Lord overflowed along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Man, I am the worst in this. Some of you feel that way. And so God's invitation is just to recognize that God's mercy is enough. God's mercy is enough. God's mercy is enough for even you. Pray that you would feel the weight. Choose to extend it to other people. And for some of you, you've got to accept it yourself. Let me read you one last quote out of this great book called Gentle and Lowly. It's three slides worth of quote. It's so wonderful. And then we're going to pray. That God is rich in mercy means that your regions of deepest shame and regret are not hotels which divine mercy passes, but homes in which divine mercy abides. It means that the things about you that make you cringe the most make him, God, hug hardest. It means his mercy is not calculating and cautious like ours. It's unrestrained, flood-like, sweeping, and magnanimous. It means that our haunting shame is not a problem for him, but the very thing he loves most to work with. It means that our sins do not cause his love to take a hit. Our sins cause his love to surge forward all the more. It means but on the day that we stand before him quietly, unhurriedly, we will weep with relief, shocked at how impoverished a view of his mercy-rich heart we had. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, this is so hard for some of us because we feel like we're owed something. We've been deeply deeply wounded. Our lives, the trajectory of our lives for some of us were changed because of the choices of other people, and we are hurting. And so the idea that we would show mercy to them, it just seems like, it seems so cold and it seems so impossible. For some of us, it's just small bumps. For some of us, just little annoyances. But wherever this lands, Lord, would you help us to feel the weight of what we owed? Would you help us to recognize that we don't owe 15,000, we owed 6 billion. And Jesus Christ, in his mercy, said, you're forgiven. And so, Lord, as we go through this week, whatever this looks like in our heart, would you help us to show mercy, not because what they did was fine, but because you've showed mercy to us, and it's a result of the mercy-rich heart that we've been given. And so we're so grateful that your Spirit walks with us through that. Some of us, we need help with this. We can't do this on our own. But would we just in faith choose, I'm going to show mercy, and that we would trust that obedience leads and my feelings follow. Lord, wherever this lands for us, would you help us to take our next step that you're calling us to take? In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.